Chapter 41.
Well said, Jay,
I replied, as we entered the ruins of Nilean. Though perhaps ruins was a bit strong of a word, because it was mostly the remains of sun-baked huts in the midst of a massive desert.
We did wind up with quite a lot of loot thanks to the siege, I smirked. Though I would have liked it if Jane could have come with us.
I as well would have liked that, Master, Queenie said with a frown. We could have had such fun together.
I'm sure we would have, I said, as I ran a hand through my sweaty hair. But we will see her again soon. We had come here after completing repairs to the town and looting all the corpses. While I'd been ready to put my new level 30 skills to the test, as well as those of Gobta, the hobgoblin formerly known as King, we hadn't run into any trouble during our trek into the desert.
I still don't understand why we couldn't have stayed and reveled in our victory a bit longer,
Morleone grumbled.
You may be drowning in girls, but for guys like me, the chance to experience the attentions of a hot woman is few and far between.
I thought chicks love musicians, I said with a laugh.
No, they love guitarists.
He glanced at Jay, who merely shrugged before nodding at me with a wry smile.
No one loves the drummer.
Well, you could play bass,
I mused as we arrived in the center of town. Again, it was mostly a mass of sand and dust with a few scattered cacti and scrub brushes. The sun beat down ceaselessly, and I could have sworn I saw vultures sitting atop what remained of the ancient stone walls of the city.
I suppose that would be worse,
Morleone said with a sigh.
I can't even name a single bassist.
I could, but that was beside the point. We had bigger fish to fry anyway, now that we were in this sweltering desert ruin. It was time to find the sword of the Destroyer King. I scanned the horizon, one hand cupped over my eyes to block the sun. And as I did, I saw something glimmer not far away. It wasn't a big glimmer, though. More like a brief speck of light that had reflected off something shiny.
There,
I said, and spurred my giant scorpion forward until we reached the glimmering speck at what seemed like the center of the ruins. It was no bigger than the size of a dime. And as I climbed off my scorpion so I could get a closer look, I realized it was a gemstone the color of crackling lightning. Energy pulsed off it with each tiny crackle, so while I had wanted to pocket it immediately, I decided to ask for some second opinions first.
Guys, I think I found something, I said as I waved them over.
And a few moments later, we were all gathered around the gemstone.
That must be it,
Morleone said, as he stared at the strange gemstone.
You should try to take it.
I thought you said it was a sword, I replied. Not that it matters, of course. I'm going to try to take it.
There is supposed to be a sword,
Morleone said as he looked around.
Right here, actually.
I was about to say something when Gobta turned toward me and spoke.
I suspect this is a sword, my liege.
He swept a hand toward it.
To me, that looks like the gemstone one might put in the pommel of a sword to gift it with magical abilities.
He held his hands out toward it.
Surely you must feel its pulse of power.
It does sort of look like that, I replied to him, before I knelt on the ground and then, very carefully, reached out to dig away some of the earth. Only before I could, Gobta grabbed me by the shoulders and hauled me backward.
What are you doing? What if this was a trap and destroyed you?
He said, matter-of-factly. Then, before I could say anything, he plunged his hand into the sand beside the gemstone and scooped a handful away, revealing the glimmering silver handle of a sword. He stood then and smiled.
It appears to be safe.
Great, I said with a sigh as I rubbed the back of my neck. He was right. It could have been a trap, and if it had been, I might have died. Hell, for all I knew, this could have been the lure of some giant sand-dwelling anglerfish. I shivered a bit at that thought before I turned my attention back to the sword.
What will you do, Master?
Queenie asked as her eyes flicked from me to the sword and back again.
Do you wish me to dig it out?
While I was inclined to let her try, something about the sword let me know that wasn't possible. Sure, we might be able to dig away some of the sand and reveal it a bit more, but in the end, the sword would have to be pulled from the ground. And oddly, as I stared at the weapon, I knew that I had to be the one to try. I took a step forward, then another, and another, until I was standing over it. No. I'll do it, I said, as I reached out and dug away the handle. As more and more of it was revealed, energy seemed to crackle off it, though I wasn't sure if the others could see it. A few minutes later, I'd managed to scrape away enough of the dirt and sand to reveal the hilt of the sword, and while I could have kept digging a while longer, I knew there wasn't a point. I'd either be able to pull it out, or I wouldn't.
You can do it, Master,
Queenie called, as I reached out and gripped the sword. As I touched the metal, the strangest thing happened, because I felt Rhapsody's hands on mine. No, that wasn't quite right, because in addition to that, I felt Mob's icy hands as well. Their power seemed to course through me, filling me from the tips of my toes to the tops of my air, and as my hands tightened around the hilt, I let loose a hard breath that was mostly frost and ice. Then I pulled, and the massive silver sword slipped free of the earth like it had been plunged into soft butter. I stood there dumbfounded for a moment as water rushed up from the ground and spurted into the air in a geyser of force that rained down upon us.
You really are him,
Morleone murmured as I beheld the sword of the Destroyer King.
Of course he is,
Queenie said with a dismissive glance at the goblin bard.
He is the master of all things.
I wanted to reply to that, to say something about it, but as I stared at the sword, I couldn't help but feel strong in more ways than one.
You have completed a hidden quest, The Destroyer King's Mantle, Part 1. But are you worthy to carry the power of the Destroyer King? Only time will tell.
I was still reading the message when I got another notification.
Your planet has finished cooling, and you may now add atmosphere.
The last one made me smile, and more than a little anxious to get back to my world so I could begin to add atmosphere. Because after that, well, after that, I could start introducing life. Still, now that I had a shiny new sword, albeit completely unidentified, I couldn't just leave without power leveling. Now could I? So, I said, as I leaned my sword on my shoulder. I'm thinking we get this identified and then go slaughter some bad guys. I looked at my compatriots. What say you guys?
I would love to slaughter and kill,
Gopta said with a smile.
There is a dungeon in my lands to the west that I've been meaning to conquer for quite some time.
Only as he spoke, I got another message.
You are not high enough to begin this quest.
That was bad. When that happened in Terra Forma, it meant that the game had drastically increased the level of all the monsters. If this place followed the same rules, and I had no reason to think it didn't, well, it was time to leave for now. After all, I had to come back as soon as I could, and not just to do the quest, but to see Jane as well. On second thought, I have a planet to build, I said with a smirk as I made my way to the giant scorpion. So let's get going.